This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. My name's Craig Turner, and I'm joined here with John Payne of This Week in Grain. John, what were your initial thoughts of the WASD today?
Oh boy, I didn't have much time to think, just simply buying back a lot of hedges for folks as the day went on. I was surprised. I mean, I think I was expecting to see a number that low for old crop stocks, but for new crop, you know, 300 million is what we saw for the beans. Just, I would say devastatingly tight might be a little bit of an overstatement, but we're at a point now where, you know, I think it's important to note, we're factoring in max yields or trend yields at 46.7 for this. If we do a 45 or a 43, I mean, this is just the beginning. So this is the start of beans. If you haven't planted yet, maybe you want to shift, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. So, you know, just a quick recap here. You know, the WASD report came out. The significance of the May WASD report is it's the first time we get a look from the USDA's perspective of supply and demand for new crops. So in April, we were still dealing with old crop. We come into May, they tell us their old crop estimates, but also their new crop estimates for corn and beans. And, you know, in the beginning of the year, you know, it was only a few months ago where people were thinking we could have a 500 million carryout for new crop, a 600 million carryout for new crop. And that's where you heard all these $7 and $8 per bushel bean estimates. But today, with the ending stocks being estimated at around 300 million or 305 million, you can start making cases for beans at $10, $11. And you're absolutely right that now that, you know, that we're up this high, it's not about how big the crop can get. It's going to start being about how small the crop can get.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we're burying a lot of news here. I mean, the report was really stacked with a ton of information, whether it would be South American production being cut. That was cut down by the CONAB people before the report came out, so that kind of got the market a little bit steaming as we went. But then I think that the old crop stocks coming off on a higher crush number, and then the new crop stocks, which – you know, with, really, this is all demand and adjustments higher. So you have, you know, prices as they rally, you can think maybe demand comes off a little bit, but you start talking about a shorter crop in Brazil or a shorter crop in Argentina, and now there really isn't a place for that that substitutive factor to go. So for where we stand here, it's a very scary place to be if you're short, although I will say the prices have factored in, I think, a lot of what can happen here in the shorter term. Of course, yield will be a big factor when we get into the midsummer. But for, as far as selling here, if you're selling these levels, you're taking a real risk that that we're going to grow it. And if we don't or you don't, it could be very painful. So this is where soybean trading becomes a lot different than, say, the corn markets because, you know, folks just, you know, they don't grow as much. And, you know, when you start moving like this in price, it's pretty deadly for margin accounts. So it's been a day. I you know, it's been a while in the grains market since we've had a period of these last month, you know. What did you think, about 18 months we went by where we really didn't see much, and then all of a sudden now we're just lighting the world on fire across the board.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a time there for months where it was like watching paint dry. And, you know, we couldn't get out of – corn couldn't get out of a 10-cent range. But, I mean, those days are gone. And, you know, soybeans are going to be very volatile. I mean, the fact that, you know, we're looking at 82.2 million acres planted and the USDA is pegged right now at a yield of 46.7, that's a high production number to meet, you know, production of about 3.8 billion. So they already got the bar set high on the production side. I mean, you know, basically, in the past couple of months, we've lowered, USDA has lowered acres, you know, from the ag form. The yield has stayed the same, but its beginning stocks have come down about $50 million for the old crop during that time. You're right, John. Crush expectations are higher. With the loss of production in South America, naturally the exports now get a little bit better. And you can. The thing is, like with beans, you start taking away bushels from the bean market, it can get sensitive very fast. While in the corn market, you know, you can lose 200 or 300, you know, million bushels off of the ending stocks in corn, and it might mean a quarter. But if we lost 200 million bushels in stocks in soybeans going from here, you know, beans would be $14. So it's just, it's significant. And I think for the traders out there, you know, for more on the spec side, you know, the guys that like volatility, soybeans could be the market of choice as we heading to spring and summer. And, you know, if there's any one planting issues or two growing issues.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And a couple of hidden little revisions in there. China raising their hog numbers pretty dramatically, and that is going to increase their need for soybean meal. So the market, I think, going into this was getting a lot of cross signals. One was a bullish kind of weather story out of Argentina, and then that acreage number that we'll still talk about for weeks to come.
Yeah.
Just if you're new to this, the bean acreage numbers will be adjusted in June. So when we get into the back end of June towards the 4th of July, we'll get a new number as far as what folks are actually planning. I expect that to come up. I mean, you would think so, right?
I do too. I was talking to some farmers in Indiana today, and you know, it's been wet in some parts of Indiana, and they haven't gotten in all the corn that they thought they would. And you know, they were sitting around today. In some land, they're going to plant corn no matter what. But some of it, which is on the margins, they're thinking about, like, you know, at these prices, you know, you almost have to plant soybeans. You know, soybeans are going to be, you know, 10.50 on the board, and corn is, you know, at 3.85. You know, it now does make sense for them. So I don't know how much of an acreage that's going to do, because a lot of corn's been planted, or you know, whatever needed to be done in the field to get the corn ready, you know, they're going to go ahead with. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw 80. I mean, last number we saw for soybeans planted, 82.2. I would not be surprised if 83 or maybe a little bit higher, maybe 83.2, something like that.
So let's say we get 83. All right, let's just assume we get 2 million. You're still only buying 90 million bushels.
Right.
So, you know, we already have the yield of 46 per bushel, and then if we get 2 million more acres, you know, you're assuming that, let's just factor it in, is all trend.
Yeah.
You know, that's 90 million more bushels. So that brings us essentially to the ending stocks number we have right now at 400.
Right.
So to be honest, I don't see other than
– And that's best case, right?
I mean,
best case that could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, it's as clear to me on the bullish side now as it was clear to me on the bearish side when we were trading lower and we were factoring 85 million acres. So,
yeah.
You know, the psychology of this is very difficult, and I think you can listen to Craig and I and say, well, yeah, it's got to go up from here. I think demand is certainly a factor. We're in a global, kind of quote-unquote global recession, I guess, as China's not growing as much as they were. But the one thing that they have been importing is soybeans. So if those would continue, and I think the export numbers that we see the USDA post today, it says they expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen – I can't really say this, but I'm going to say it. I don't think eight's in the cards anymore.
I don't think so either.
I don't want to go too far out of the limb.
You don't want to go on the limb. You don't be the guy selling.
I'm not making a wreck.
Yeah, right. I got it. But like I've written about it too. Like you know, $8 with these stocks numbers and this, you know, after today's report, I agree. I kind of tend to agree with you too. To see $8 beans between now and harvest, you know, I don't know what would have to happen to get there. I'd actually be kind of shocked if that's even a possibility. I think low nines by harvest with a great growing season and more acres and a better yield, you know, could be possible. I can see anyone go out there and take a look at different scenarios throughout the year and, you know, based on the best weather possible, make arguments for low nines, but also based on droughts and stuff, make an argument for beans in the teens. So it's going to be volatile. You know, while corn still has over 2 billion carry out, so it's not going to be as volatile.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that wheat market, I was just so depressed. Like if I were a farmer, I would have thrown up in the garbage can. I mean, it was just not, it wasn't good. It was the wheat, the world stocks numbers in wheat went up so much. I couldn't believe it. So
I would love to know if you're a farmer out there listening and you're a wheat farmer. You can email us or answer this, call in, whatever. At what point do you just rip your wheat crop out here
yeah.
and plant full season beans? I I know guys do that. I don't think it's a really high practice, but I mean, you're getting corn prices for your wheat, and you know, if you can get beans in the ground and get a decent yield out of it, it probably makes sense on the margins. So maybe you see a little extra ground there. I think this at some point you're gonna have to see corn pulled a little bit higher, don't you think?
I think as a substitute you do. I got to tell you, some of these demand numbers coming from the corn market are surprising to me. Feed and residual is up almost 300 million bushels from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that was big. You know, ethanol, they added a little bit to ethanol. Yep. I guess I can get that. Exports, I understand why that got a bump because of the South American issues, which didn't just affect the soybeans. It also been, you know, there's also been some corn issues down there too. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's just that usage, the more bullish usage numbers and beans make a little bit more sense to me than the corn. And the thing is, like, with corn, if we do have production issues, they lose acres, it shouldn't hurt as much. So I think one thing I'll be looking at going forward is the beans to corn ratio. That's something that we'll see spread traders be looking at. I'm going to be focusing very heavily on July beans versus November beans, because if July really starts outpacing November, you know, kind of watch out. I know November, John, you were talking about this, November 16 is now, you know, what, 70 or 80 cents over November 17.
Yep.
So, you know, that just gives you an idea of, you know, we're talking two crop cycles here. The old crop and the new crop really are starting to outpace that 17. In theory, a real bull market, a market that's in shortage, has the front months go higher. You can make the case that because new crop has a smaller carryout, it should gain on July. But if you ask the classical economists, they wouldn't agree with that. They would still say the old crop, even though it's a larger carryout, deserves to go higher because the principle of one in the hand is worth two in the bush. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, so my main takeaway would be that, yes, this is a bullish number. I think the beans are going to attract more production, not a ton. But I think the one thing you got to remember here, this is different than 10, 11, 12, in the fact that in those years we had tight ending stocks in the old crop. And then when the new crop got hit, it rallied that way. This is a little bit of a different. It's almost like, you know, you had a really good year last year. You made some good dough, and then this year doesn't look as good.
Right.
So you can kind of live on those supplies that you have a little bit more. And prices are going to spike, but at some point here, I would say that the front month demands will get rationed, and then you'll start to move, you know, product. And we have a lot of a different global story too. So I'm not seeing beans in the teens yet.
No,
but I wouldn't be shocked to see a push to 11 here as a lot of folks blow out. But this is where, like I said, if you have a hedge account, you haven't started yet, or you're learning, great opportunity to jump into a market where you can, you know, possibly look in and put in a floor for this year or even next year, and you know, doing some things in the markets that allow you to keep your grain and get some protection on, because that's the key here, staying alive on these rallies. A lot of folks thought we'd never see 10, and now we're pushing on 1070. So
yeah,
things change quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in terms of that spread, you know, even the market's job now in the old crop in the front months is probably at a price ration, so we have enough carry out for new crop. I don't know. We'll see. It's an interesting point. That's something I'll be writing about. But yeah, be careful out there. It's going to be volatile. And that's all I got really on the WASDE. John, you have anything else?
Not much. Be careful out there, everybody. I will say, if we're doing this here on the 10th of May, we're pretty much at record levels on KC wheat versus corn, KC wheat versus beans, KC wheat versus Chicago wheat. So
yep.
You're looking for the counter trade. Everybody saw that wheat number today. It'll be interesting to see if wheat bottoms out and if beans top out on a really bullish and bearish report. So that's kind of where I'll be keeping an eye out.
All right, that sounds great. Well, John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll be doing this again next week, and you know, maybe we'll get some other guys on at Daniel's Trading too going forward.
Let's do it.
All right, have a good one.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.